This week, episode 85 brings you not only my PSA of the season, but I also break down Google I.O. 2014, as well as many other things, in 60 minutes or less, at least I hope so. All that and more, trending mobile technology starts now. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 85 of Trending Mobile Technology. As always, I am your ever mobile host, the man on a mission, the guy always on the move, Hyper the DJ, right here on the other end of the headset for you. I've got a lot of stuff to get into, and I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into it. At the top, Hyper the DJ. Plug it into just about anything. Google Plus, Twitter, everything except Facebook, all right? But Google Plus, Gmail, Twitter, you can find me. I'm the only one there. It's one word. No punctuation, underscores, nothing. Ram it all together, and that's me. That's how to get in contact with me, and we can just move forward from there. I've got lots of stuff I'm going to be getting into. I've got into a pretty reasonable discussion with Mr. Old School this week concerning some other things. As soon as I can find my device, and we can get into that. But first, my PSA for the vacationing traveling season. I need to be able to persuade everybody out there that technology is not bad. And I know that there's been many times and many individuals that I've spoken to who share many different views when it comes to technology. Now, understand, in the past 20 years, technology has changed in such a way that it has put itself on its own ear. Now, what do I mean by that? Computers have gotten smaller. They've gotten more efficient. They have gotten to a point where everything is easier to build. 20 years ago, a computer could fill a 10 by 10 room and still not be big enough to manage a company. Nowadays, we carry computers in our pockets everywhere we go. I mean, technology is getting more and more efficient. Things are getting better and easier, all right? And with that understanding, with that evolution of technology, also comes a learning curve, all right? We need to understand this. As technology evolves, as Moore's Law continues to prove itself over and over and over again, that it's, I mean, the scientist Moore was just overall an electronic genius when it came to this stuff. As he continues to show that he was right, we need to understand that just because technology is evolving, it's going to stay the same as what we learned, okay? When I started school back in the 90s, I studied assembler. Why? Because assembler was a popular programming language. I studied COBOL because COBOL was also a popular programming language. I studied a little bit of Pascal, not too awful much, but I did study these. I know how to do some of the things. Now, when the turn of the century came around and everything, you know, Y2K and all that other kind of mess, it changed things around a little bit. But understand, technology is not something to intimidate you. And I'm coming around to my point here in a second, so bear with me. Technology is not something to be intimidated by. Technology is not something to be scared of. Technology, yes, there are people out there that abuse it. However, technology can also help you, provided the fact you have somebody willing and able to assist you. But nobody will know if you need help unless you swallow your pride and ask for it. All right? Guys, I know you have this huge cock complex where asking for help makes you feel inferior. Swallow your pride, ask for help. Stop proving your women right and ask for directions. And this is where I'm getting with this. Travel season is starting up. All right? People drive a lot of places. Just A, it's cheaper than flying. B, they can do it in a few extra hours. C, they can do a little bit of sightseeing, etc. Okay? If you're traveling with people, and I mean two vehicles or more, set up a caravan. Okay? But A, make sure you have communication between your vehicles. B, if you don't like a cell phone, get a CB. Yes, folks, CBs are still used out there. Heavy Set, he shows up on Old School at the movies all the time. He's a truck driver. Ask him. Sure, they have cell phones, but they also use radios. All right, I know plenty of truck drivers that still have two ways on their rigs. It happens. Have communication. If you don't like technology, at least throw one in your bag. Why? Because if you take a wrong turn someplace and I look in my rearview mirror and don't see you there, I can still find you. See, technology not only brings curses, but it also brings advantages. In the Android, the iOS, and the Microsoft operating systems, even BlackBerry, they have mobile device tracking linked in with their GPS. Yes, there are ways, and people are like, oh, big brother, oh my God, the NSA. You know what? At this point, when it comes to keeping the people I care about while they're traveling safe, I tell you to screw off, all right? Yes, I am on my soapbox right now because I had something hit me last week that threw me for a loop, and it could have been prevented by a simple cell phone. Let me tell you a little story about myself, folks. I have an Android device. I just upgraded my lady's cell phone this past Christmas to Android. She has an HTC M7. Her daughter has an iPod. My son has an Android tablet. Okay, we're evolving slowly. Okay, first thing that I did with each of those devices, I had installed a tracking manager. Why? Because A, my son takes his tablet just about everywhere he goes. My lady goes anywhere with her phone, okay, and her daughter takes her iPod just about everywhere as well. From a computer, I can track the iPod, no problem. When I'm out and about, I can track any Android device I have linked up to my network, or not my network, but the particular account that I have sync up. Yes, I created a bogus administrative account for my family. Why? Because it's easy that way. If they're not where they're supposed to be, I want to know where they are. I can find them. Here's the real simple answer, folks. If you're out driving, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to get confused. It's easy to wind up in the wrong place. People do it all the time. I used to do it all the time. All right? It happens. That simple idea, simple concept of being able to track and follow and guide. Sometimes a road atlas just doesn't cut it anymore, folks. Times have changed. 20 years ago, all you needed was that paper book, that road atlas, to get you from A to B. Now, things are a little bit different, folks. If you're out traveling, make sure you have your technology and make sure you have it designed to where somebody can help you out. Make sure you're utilizing the equipment that's available to you. Make sure that you're being safe, because if you don't, you could wind yourself up in a really big hurt locker, all right? GPS is out there for a reason. Android, iOS, they have these applications in place designed to assist, to offer, and support, and keep things from coming up missing. Android Device Manager is my friend. Why? Because I have that same account installed on the M7, my boy's tablet, and just about every other Android device that I possess. Why? So I can find it if I need to. Android Device Manager does a very good job of tracking my devices for me. And in most cases, the devices are close by to the owner. My son, my better half, etc. So make sure you're being safe, folks. Make sure. Simple fact, if you need to be found, you can be. So you don't want to carry the phone with you everywhere you go? Fine. Throw it in your freaking suitcase. Turn it on and throw it in your suitcase. That way somebody can find you if they need to. Or if you find yourself in a pinch where you're lost, you have that ability to call. All right? My public service announcement to everybody. If you're out there and you're getting ready to hit the road and you don't have these technologies available, the price of these technologies, folks, $20, not even joking. Ounce of prevention, pound of cure. Mr. Old School, I'm sorry, I don't know what the metric is, but you get the idea. A little bit of prevention, you could save yourself a lot of trouble, all right? So make sure you're utilizing your technology. Make sure you have your itinerary set up. Make sure that you're keeping in contact with people. not only while you are moving around and getting stuff taken care of, but also while you're in the traveling process. You know, you'd be surprised how it could help people out. A couple quick headlines to bring into play. The Microsoft Surface Pro 3 hit the stands, and they immediately sent out an upgrade promo to, if you own a iPad Air, you could trade it in to upgrade to a Surface Pro 3. Now, a couple qualifications. Obviously, the iPad's got to work, you know, but they're giving up to $500 to offset the price of this. And it's looking, I mean, usually people that buy an iPad have a reason to buy an iPad. Granted, tablets are becoming more and more popular. But, you know, iPads, they're a good thing. iPads, if you buy an iPad, you definitely have a reason to buy an iPad, okay? An iPad Air, a little bit more expensive, a little bit more, non-cost efficient. But if you're buying an iPad Air, you've got a reason for an iPad Air. I mean, that's just all there is to that. So, therefore, Microsoft, in their divine wisdom, when they released the Surface Pro 3, in an effort to promote their product and sell more devices, they said, hey, bring your iPad Air to us, and we'll upgrade it to a Surface Pro 3. I believe they're offering up to $700 for trade-in, depending on where you go and the condition. So if that's something that's interesting to you, I'm still looking for a good write-down or write-up for the Surface Pro 3 to see what it does and all that kind of good stuff, and then we can just move on from there. Earlier this week, they announced the folks from Business Insider went on the books and said the iWatch has been cleared for release. However, the big problem is that they still didn't give us an actual release date for the iWatch. So, you know, they've got all these neat little specs and these neat little drawings and these neat little demonstrations and what they'd like it to do and how they'd like it to work and how and what they want it to do and how they want it to operate and notify and the apps that are going to be associated with it. But yet again, they still didn't give us a release date. I'm not quite sure where they're going with this. I think here's the thing. I'm not sure that Apple is as excited about the iWatch as everybody else would be excited about the iWatch, to be completely honest. I mean, I don't know, folks. I mean, it's one of those things that I look at and I kind of scratch my head. Yeah, sure, they put the patent down for the iWatch, okay? They trademarked the name iWatch. They said, this is our name. We want it. No one else can take it. Which, if you think about it, over the past, you know, iPad, iPod, iTunes, I mean, everything with a lowercase I, you put a noun after it, and boom, it's an Apple product. So it would just make sense to put a watch in there. However, with the advances that Apple is making, coming out of the Jobs era, going into the new era that they're heading into with Tim Cook, okay, leaving Jobs, coming into Cook, coming into their own with the innovations they've made, and for more information on the innovations that they made, check out last week's show where I broke down WWDC. But here's the thing. Do they really want to get into the watch, the wearable market? I mean, it's already pretty intense. This is, and once again, this is speculation out the wazoo, all right? A lot of people going in there talking about this, and still there's no confirmation from the Apple camp. So this has still got questions in my mind. I don't think that Apple wants this, to be honest, all right? And that's just my opinion. Subject to change without notice, but those of you that are holding your breath about an iWatch, there has been an announcement. iWatch is clear for takeoff. However, we still have not seen a release date for it as yet. BlackBerry went on the books last week, citing that they've got a new device coming out later on in 2014, I believe around September. There's supposed to be a release event in London. And the BlackBerry Passport is what it is supposed to be, citing unusual resolution of 1440 by 1440. Supposed to be square, VGA, similar to the Bold 9900. It's going to have a Q5 or Q10 processor. Well, that doesn't make sense. I sat here and I dug up some of the keyboards and the images and stuff like that. It looks like, I'm not sure what to think about this one, folks. I want to see, I don't think BlackBerry's done yet, and I'm sure Mr. Old School would back me up on this, being a longtime advocate for the BlackBerry, that he has been. But looking at some of the images for this and some of the speculated specifications that they have for it, I mean, it's going to operate on BlackBerry 10.3, all right, which is the current version of the BlackBerry 10 operating system that's on the market. But looking at this device, it looks a little small, looks a little short, the keyboard looks a little weird. But once again, if you like that tactile experience, if you like that QWERTY, you know, you've got to feel it in under your fingers, you know, it could work. I mean, you know, this is supposed to have the security behind it that BlackBerry's always offered and things of that nature. So, you know, BlackBerry is nowhere near being done yet. I mean, if they're announcing a new device to come out later 2014, I think that this could be a good thing so far. Moving on, we have one device breakdown for this week, and that is the Nokia X2 Dual SIM. It was released earlier this month, and here are the specs. It is operational on 2G, 3G with Dual SIM. It operates on micro SIM only. The dimensions, it's got an IPS LCD, 16 million colors, 480 by 800 with a 217 PPI. It does have multi-touch. It's black. It comes with with all the notifications, MP3, wave, vibration, sound, 3.5, micro SD up to 32 gigs, and an internal 4 gigs and 1 gig of RAM. You're looking at all the typical GPRS, Edge, Speed, WLAN, Bluetooth, USB, and all that other kind of good stuff built into it. It's got a 5-megapixel shooter in the back, 2592 by 1944 autofocus LED flash. It's only got one side of a camera, though. Okay, it doesn't have a front-facing camera. It does video 720 at 30 FPS, and it does have a VGA 480p as well. It's running on the Android operating system 4.3, and the rumor has it that this is the Nokia fork. And we say this with interest for the simple fact that all the forked versions of Android are not going to be counted in the overall Android count. And I'll get into that once I do the breakdown of Google I.O., but it is another forked version. It's got the Qualcomm Snapdragon 200 with a dual-core 1.2 gigahertz Cortex A7 and an Adreno 302 GPU with all the associated sensors that go along with it. The battery is an 1800 mAh, citing a standby time of 552 hours, up to 10 hours of talk time, and 86 hours of music play. You know, there's a lot of people that are hyped up on this. If you look at it and you flip through some of the images and the YouTube demos that are out there, it looks like it's a Windows phone with an Android overlay. Or an Android overlay with a Windows mobile overlay. I'm sorry. It's an Android operating system with the Windows overlay. I mean, it's got that tile feature built into it. Yes, it is a Nokia forked version. Yes, it is, you know, just, it's looking interesting and it looks neat, but it's not neat enough to drag my Sanage and Mod out of my fingers. But those of you that are fans of Nokia and maybe looking for a transition to go from Android to Windows Mobile, this could be a good thing for you. On to Google I.O., and I'm not going to break down the entire thing. For those of you who want the complete Google I.O., there is information available out there, not only on YouTube, but many other individuals have posted podcasts concerning Google I.O. I do have a few things that caught my attention that I would like to discuss and bring into some commentary and just move forward from there, and I hope that you would indulge me. Wait a minute. Before we get into that, Mr. Old School and I, we had some conversations earlier this week. He did correct a statement that I made last week concerning Microsoft charging for their operating system upgrade. He cited that there was no way Microsoft charges for their OS upgrade, and then I thought about that. And I believe that to be correct, just for the simple fact that when I was on a Windows XP, when they upgraded to Service Pack 2 or Service Pack 3, there was no charge. So that makes sense. Now, if you're going to change it to a different build, I could understand that. But that is, I do appreciate Mr. Old School for keeping me honest on those, on the Microsoft operating system upgrade. That's what I look forward to. I mean, I look forward to hearing what people got to say. If you have questions, you know, reach out and let me know. If I've said something wrong, you want to call me to task, take me to task, things of that nature. And I'll gladly discuss it with you. As something else, he and I went back and forth concerning Project Tango. He says it's not real clear its potential, but they could have provided clearer examples, of which they could have. And Google I/O, you would have thought that with their developer conference, they would have really kicked off Project Tango. But at the same time, they didn't really do too awful much with it. And that's a really interesting part here, just for the simple fact that Project Tango, it brings around a lot of different things with the three-dimensional. It brings up a lot of ideas with the augmented reality, moving things around, being able to see what's out there, and things of that nature. If they could have defined a little bit better what it's supposed to do and what it is supposed to be able to accomplish, then just various things of that nature, and it would be a lot better, you know, if we could be able to determine exactly what Project Tango is supposed to be able to do outside of the virtual reality or the augmented reality, you know, it would be a little bit more understandable as to where Google is coming from with this project. And then the statement that I made last week concerning switching to analog, Mr. Old School asked if switching to analog would not be right if they still had analog towers out there. I did a little bit further research. Unfortunately, 2008, they did shut down a majority of the analog towers. However, majority of the people... Okay, let me back up on this. That is correct. The majority of the analog towers are shut down. To my understanding, in the United States, there are only two carriers that still have an analog network. Both of them are not in this area. They're more for rural areas. I was under the impression that my father-in-law was still on analog. I do apologize for that. He is not analog. He does have a digital phone, but all it is just a traditional flipper, folks. All it does is send and receive text messages, makes phone calls. Outside of that, doesn't do anything else. It's got a GPS in it, so he can be tracked if he needs to be. But, you know, it's pretty minimal. The whole thing that this boils back to is when I was talking to privacy on the online or in the mobile space. Everybody has a perception, misperception, whatever you want to call it. They get upset. They get so irritated. They get their panties in a bunch. They get bound up, twisted, irritated, hard up, whatever you want to call it, about privacy. Not only in the real world on the internet, but also in the mobile space. And here's the thing. Complete privacy is a myth in this industry. In this world that we live in, if you think that you're going to maintain your privacy, you are out of your mind. Okay, the only way to maintain your privacy is A, never access the internet, and B, never use a cell phone. That's the only way to do it. Go to the community center to watch TV. Don't get any bills. All that kind of good stuff. I mean, there's ways that you can drop off the face of the earth. There is, okay? But if you carry a cell phone, if you access the internet, if you watch TV from home, if you have electricity, if you have the modern utilities, if you have just about anything, privacy is a misnomer, okay? It's a cliche type of thing. Now, there's steps you can take to assist in keeping your information private, and there's many people out there that'll assist you in that, okay? But switching to analog, I do apologize, that is not a viable option anymore, at least in the continental United States. Folks that are other places, the UK, Canada, South America, various other places, if you have analog towers in your area, shout out, let me know. That is that's another way to go. But overall speaking, you know, once again, Mr. Old School taking me to task, which I appreciate. Once again, just because the information comes out of my mouth does not mean that it's always right, but I do the best I can with what I have. And so thank you again, Mr. Old School, for backing me up and keeping me honest. Google I.O., lots of neat things happen there, lots of interesting, fun things, and lots of, you know, crazy things, to say the least. I'm not going to sit here and break down the entire keynote, the 2 hours and I believe 20 minutes of it concerning everything. I do have a few things that stuck out to me and some things that excited me quite a bit in the keynote, as well as some various other things that I found to be interesting. And I'll just go ahead and touch on those really quick and then we'll move on from there. So the new developer preview is Android L, as in lemon, whatever, L. They didn't actually give it a sweet treat, but they have said developer preview L. I looked at that, and I started reading a couple articles. L is also the Roman numeral for 50. So if we throw a decimal point in there, 5.0, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too far into it. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, new developer preview version L, it's got art built into it. So it looks like they're doing away with the Dalvik, which looks good. I mean, it brings both good things and bad things to the industry. But making the transition, I believe, is going to be a good thing. It'll make it easier as people upgrade their devices, various other things. I think that moving forward with other devices as well, 64-bit, I think that's going to help a lot, making things a lot more efficient as people change their devices. You know, people overall, every 3 years, people are upgrading their devices. Okay, that's just the way it's working out. And I think that this is one way for Android or Google to continue to control, or try to control at least, their output numbers, for the simple fact that if you have a device that needs to be upgraded that can't be upgraded due to SOS from your OEM or your manufacturer, i.e. TouchWiz, i.e. LG, i.e. Verizon, i.e. carrier bullshit SOS, then, you know, this is an attempt for Google to separate those numbers a little bit. They went into Google Play Services, they updated the production numbers, and here's the way that that works out. They check those numbers every 2 weeks, every 14 days, and the Google Service Play tracks usage on devices that have regular usage, not devices that developers have in a drawer that only get on once a month or once every 2 months or whenever they go to upgrade an application. It is also not supposed to track the forked versions of Android. For example, the first version of the Fire OS, for the first version of the Kindle, this is not supposed to be tracking that anymore, okay? This is supposed to be tracking only the versions of Android, the current versions, actual versions. Tizen, it will not track, but it will track the other 50 million devices that Samsung has produced that have the Android operating system on there. They've also gone through and they've updated Trust and Unlocking to include Chromebooks as well as Bluetooth trusted devices and Wi-Fi. This looks like something that could be a good thing in the Android. You know, trusted Bluetooth has become a very sticky subject with a lot of people, okay? Bluetooth is something that excited me when I first heard it. Now, for those who don't know, trusted Bluetooth, if you have a trusted Bluetooth, trusted NFC is where it started. If you have a smartphone that is enabled with trusted Bluetooth or trusted NFC, the way it's designed is, well, let's use the Motorola Skip, for example. The Motorola Moto X, when it came out, it is NFC enabled, and it came out with what's called a skip patch. And what it is, it's just nothing more than an NFC tag that hooks on your belt right next to where you would hang your Moto X. Now, the way it's supposed to work, in theory, is you pull your Moto X off your belt, run it past this skip, and your phone will unlock. Now, being rooted, being ROMed, I have experimented with this ability. I ordered some NFC tags, and I've been playing around with it on my device for a little bit. I have one that I can wear on my wrist, like a watch. Now, mind you, I don't wear a watch, but, you know, I could wear it similar to a watch. And when I reach back to grab my phone, because I do carry my phone on my hip with the OtterBox, when I reach back, I just run this NFC tag close to my device. It'll unlock it, and I can pull it up. Boom, there I go. So the next thing that comes up is Bluetooth, trusted Bluetooth, where if you have your device paired with, like, Bluetooth hands-free set or Bluetooth keyboard, as long as it is paired, it will remain unlocked. The thing comes into play 30 feet away, becomes unpaired, and then what do? You know, so there's trusted Bluetooth, trusted unlocking is turning into a important topic to a lot of people. I'm liking it, okay? I've been a fan of trusted devices, you know, privacy aside, just for the simple fact that it keeps the device as long as, you know, A is one, meaning, you know, it's paired to a particular device. That device is within range. That device is close. That device, you know, is on a particular network, etc., close to a Chromebook, close to a tablet, close to, you know, within something familiar, then it will remain unlocked. You know, the flip side to that is, well, yeah, keeping your device unlocked, but, you know, if you somebody rips off your phone and just follows you for the next 60, 70, 80, 90 yards, you know, accessing your phone while it's still within trusted Bluetooth, you know, six one way, half dozen another, guy rips off my phone, is he really going to want to follow me? I mean, honestly, you know, there are those people that are out there, which I understand, but Project Silver wasn't announced, but Android One was announced, and this is an effort to get technology into underdeveloped countries. Android Wear was another big thing that came up. The Samsung actually got a good shout out for this, for the production that they've done and the innovation that they've made in this space. They also announced the Samsung Gear Live, which is going to support Android Wear, and this is interesting because, you know, Samsung is really an innovator when it comes to Android. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that everything they put out is good because as far as I'm concerned, TouchWiz still sucks. All right. Tizen, you know, I think Samsung came to understand that their Gear 2 didn't really go the way they wanted it to. The Gear Fit. Not so much. So they try with this, you know, they're teamed up with Android. Where's Samsung trying to go? I mean, everybody knows that Samsung wants to be Apple. They want to be able to just be the one that everybody wants. They're not happy with second place, okay? Which anybody in the big three, you know, they wouldn't be happy in second place. But Samsung really making a big step here with Google in moving forward with Android Wear. And with that, the only device that was announced in Google I/O, holding true to the developer conferences that have been in so far. Microsoft, when they had their developer conference, E3, when they had their developer conference, WWDC, now Google I/O, and if you go back further on the calendar, you'll find even more where developer conferences, they're not pushing hardware down your throat like they did last year. Mr. Old School, when he and I were on the phone with Brian and we broke down E3 a couple weeks ago, he suggested that maybe the public was just getting hardwared out, which from a perspective, I can look at that and I can say, Yeah, that sounds right. You know, that's very possible. That's very likely. People could just be hardwared out. I mean, the hardware is so flooded right now with hardware. I mean, Samsung's releasing devices every day. And I think that the bottom line, I think that Google giving props to the folks at Samsung, I think that's a really good thing. All right, I think that that is a leg up in the right direction. I think this is giving itself to the developers and the manufacturers starting to work together instead of proprietizing everything and forking the hell out of Android. I think this is a start. Google and Samsung coming together to kind of truce and look at this and say, okay, so this is what we've got and this is where we're going. You know, maybe we can make this work a little bit better. You know, you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours type of thing, and then move forward from there. There was also an introduction of an enterprise package on the Android operating system, for lack of a better term, a sandbox per se. It's virtually the same thing that iOS announced when they had WWDC, and Samsung Knox as well when they put their big thing out there. Now, understand, I do not believe that Samsung Knox works the best on the face of this earth, but at the same time, Samsung was an innovator in this space when it came out. Now, dividing the two, you know, personal from business, things of that nature, honestly, you're still going to run into problems that way. I'm still a firm believer that BYOD has its place. However, if you're a company who's really concerned about your stuff, buy the phone, give it to the employee, tell them to use it, and if they don't like it, tell them they're fired. End of story. I mean, otherwise, you're going to wind up with problems. Android TV was announced. They did a little blurb on that. And also, Google Drive gets updated to where it will accept a native DOC and XLS file format. For the longest time, you had to use the proprietary doc format that Google Drive used. And now you can just take a Microsoft Office file, upload it. Is this done within the space of Microsoft, or is this done within the space of Microsoft Office? I'm not quite sure yet. But once again, there is cooperation and unification within the operating system to where it's working with itself within itself. It's working within the Office space and making itself to a point where overall, I mean, things in general, it's looking better. It's improving. It's a step process, okay? Is Android all the way there yet? No, it's not all the way there yet, but, you know, it's getting there. It's getting to a point where Android is improving, okay? It's got people like me devoted to the operating system. It's got people like me looking at it saying, am I ever going to change from this? Probably not, okay? There's things that I really like about the Android operating system. And I know Mr. Old School, he's probably going, ooh, we don't like get my hands on Piper the DJ. You know, there's room for opinion in this industry, all right? Everybody is entitled to an opinion. Mr. Old School, he switched to Windows Mobile 8, and he loves it. I mean, I was on Windows Mobile 6, and I went to Android, and I like it. I've experimented with plenty of other things here in the past year, or two years, I'm sorry, in the past 2 years, and I enjoy it. You know, there's a lot of different things and a lot of room for improvement all over the place. Is Mr. Old School going to say that Windows Mobile 8 is perfect? No. Am I going to say that Android Build L or KitKat is perfect? No, it's not. There's still things that can be better. It's an innovation. It's a process. We found what works for us, and we're continuing to move forward. Also, you know, the competition between the two, between the three, actually, Windows, Android, and iOS, is going to continue on, you know? No announcement on Google Now, which kind of surprised me on this one. I didn't see anything from Google Now on this, no demo. I got a feeling that's just going to continue to get upgraded kind of behind the scenes. But Android Auto came on and made a great big old ripple. And there's a laundry list of developers and manufacturers that are involved in this process. And you know, this got me excited. If for nothing else, because driverless cars are on the way. Driverless cars are on the way. Now, understand, It's not that I don't like to drive. I like to drive. I do. I really enjoy driving. But my biggest problem is the other assholes that are on the road. I mean, really. Prime example. I was with a buddy of mine, and he and I were on our way to go paintballing for a weekend. And we were on the interstate traveling, and just on our way, minding our own business, we had changed lanes to pass, and just out of nowhere, the guy that we were passing decided he was going to change lanes too. Didn't look, didn't come over, no nothing. Came over, he honked, went back into his lane, came over again. We're still there. Duh, hello. We're still there. As if he thought that we were going to move or just kind of disappear, whatever, I don't know. He came over again. Well, we had to, obviously, we had to slam the brakes. And he came over and just kind of, whatever you want to do it, okay? Two things about this. Number one, Android Auto would look at the individual and say, hey, moron, you can't do that. Duh. All right? Now, thankfully, my traveling companion, he looked and he's like, boy, glad one of us was paying attention. And which is true. I mean, I was just kind of hanging out, talking, sightseeing, doing what I do when I travel. I prefer to be navigator, but, you know. The driver, he's just like, poof. And it just, one of those things where you're like, man, you know, could a driverless car have prevented that? What are you going to do? But, you know, moving forward, I think driverless cars are on the way. Android Auto, or Android in the car, and what Android in the car or Android Auto is supposed to do is it's supposed to be give you an interface, dashboard screen, navigate for Google Maps, Spotify, text messages, etc. It's supposed to be more user friendly to keep to pay attention to what you're doing, which is supposed to be driving versus your device, and it looks cool. I mean, you know, but I think a car that would just be able to drive would be better and allow you to do whatever you're going to do. As it stands right now, the guys that are currently dedicated to Android Auto, Arbath, Acura, Alfa Romeo, Bentley, Chrysler, Dodge, which is a Chrysler corporation, Fiat, Infiniti, Jeep, which is also Chrysler, Maserati, Mazda, Ram, which is also Chrysler, Renault, Seat, Skoda, and Volkswagen. And it'll be versus these guys, which are currently on Apple CarPlay, BMW, Citroën, Ferrari, Jaguar, Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, Peugeot, and Toyota. Now, there is a list of manufacturers that are currently servicing both, not only CarPlay, but also Android in the car. And they are Audi, Chevy, Ford, Honda, Hyundai, Kia, Mitsubishi, Nissan, Opel, Subaru, Suzuki, and Volvo. Now, many of those manufacturers, although they are import stamps or import manufacturers, they are manufactured here. For example, Mitsubishi, they have American-based plants. Chevy, Audi, Honda, they've got a couple here. Subaru also has a couple that are located, as well as Suzuki in the United States. And Volvo, I'm pretty sure they're European, but somebody was telling me that they do have some a manufacturing facility. I could be wrong on that one. But all in all, Android Auto, Android in the car, you know, it's looking interesting. It's looking good. It's looking like something is getting, you know, as I said, driverless cars are on the way, and the excitement with it is turning out to be exciting overall. I mean, I'm looking forward to see what is going to happen with these guys. All in all, the innovation and the addition of the notifications that Android Auto is going to bring to an individual is going to do nothing but enhance and advance the safety and the abilities within the vehicle. Being able to navigate without having to pull your phone out, I mean, it's going to give it in-dash capability. So it's ubiquitous networking or the ubiquitous platform, being able to look something up on your device or look something up on your laptop, send it to your device and take the device, put it in the car, and the car picks it up and it syncs it up right there already. Boom! There you go. This goes back to my PSA from the top of the show. Okay? If you've got all this installed, boom, right there you go. I mean, it totally cuts down on getting lost. It totally cuts down on people not knowing where you are. I mean, hey, you know, there's talks that people have ways of tracking other people by their license plate or phone number or something like that. I mean, I can track people by their email address. You know, my better half has an email address. My son has an email address, but I can also track them by their MAC address. I can track them by their phone number. I can track them by their device. I can find them. Okay? Anybody that's out there. And this is just another way that you can be found. Now, that the whole... the flip side. I always got to give the flip side. And I hate doing this because this gets the naysayers up in arms and going crazy. The flip side to this, yes, having an automated computerized car lends itself to be hacked. It can be hijacked. It can cause problems. It can... whatever. Okay? But they're trying to cut down... See, and here's... All right, slow down a little bit. They're locking down the computer system to where the car itself is not necessary to have an internet connection. The internet connection will remain on your phone, okay? The car just becomes an extension of your phone. And I saw this in action when I was up at a tournament a month ago. The car... it was a Lincoln. It was a Lincoln Town Car, one of the new town cars. It had XM-powered, or not XM, satellite-powered radio station, all that kind of good stuff. Next to it, there was a little plug-in jack for the Android device, cell phone, Android device in this case. The driver, taxi cab driver, had it right there, and he was answering calls. You know, he had that hands-free set and all that kind of good stuff. But he was able to navigate where he needed to on the phone, and it automatically went up into the car. And it was just like as if he was changing channels on the radio, okay? It was that easy, that simple. I mean, it's just a simple thing where push a button, navigate to, ba-da-boo-boo, navigate to, ba-da-boo-boo, and it off it went. There it did its little thing. And there was no problems with it. And I saw it working, and I was like, that is cool. Now, granted, it was like a $500 radio system that he had in there to do this. I didn't get I believe it was something by Pioneer, I'm not quite sure. But, you know, this is where Android Auto is going. It's designed to work with the apps that are on your phone and work as an extension of your device, okay? Several people are on board with this already. SDK will be on its way out to developers shortly. And then the last of all... The most interesting thing, well, not the most interesting, but of the top things that interested me of the Google I.O. keynote were, there were two protests the day of the keynote. Two people got accepted their tickets, they got in and all that kind of good stuff. They made it to the lottery and all that kind of interesting craziness. And they get in, and one of them, they get up and they start raising a ruckus because they got kicked out of their apartment or off their land, which, to my understanding, I mean, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, okay? Everybody has what ruffles their feathers. But if I'm not mistaken, those people that were taken off their land and Google purchased, if I'm not mistaken, they were compensated properly. Those in apartment buildings, I guess the landlords can do that. Unfortunately, this is another advocate to promote buying your house instead of renting. Because if somebody else holds the deed, then unfortunately, it's a lose-lose situation. But the second protester is the one that really caught my interest. And this is the one that said that Google was quote-unquote turning into Skynet. Evil company, the response was actually quite comical, citing that Google was actually the most friendly operating system that they knew of, which in its own right is halfway correct. But those of us in the coding industry who have done any form of coding know that you can make anything go from good to bad in just a line of code, which obviously brings to my mind the crazy thought of what if somebody decides... to do that crazy code. What if somebody decides that they're going to come out and make a forked version of Android that isn't nice, or something that's going to become sentient, or something that's going to, oh heck, I don't know. You get where I'm going with this, though. One person could change that. And am I saying I'm a conspiracy theorist? No, I'm not saying I'm a conspiracy theorist. But I'm just saying, what if, you know, could it, could they, would they, might they? I mean, we've seen it all on TV. We've seen it all in the movies. For more information on movies like that, check out Old School at the Movies. He's got plenty of them. Sister show on the network, and my technology buddy, you know? So what is it, you know, what's it going to be? Is Android going to continue to be, you know, what it does and eventually turn into Skynet? I sure hope not. I mean, I really do. I don't want to see Android or Google turn into Skynet. That's not on my list of things to do because I actually feel I'm kind of fond of what I got. Is it possible? You know, a lot of people thought that many things in technology were impossible. But life moving forward as it has, Moore's Law being in full effect, many things are possible. Anything is possible, okay? And the last story I'm going to get into is if you own a Pixel Chromebook and you've noticed that your free year of data has been limited, J.R. Raphael put out a really good show, really good story about Verizon. Basically what happened is when you got your Pixel, you're supposed to have 1 year of data with, you know, 1 year of roaming data, free Wi-Fi or free data through Verizon. And a year went by. Well, I'm sorry, it was supposed to be 2 years. I apologize, 2 years. After 1 year, people started having problems with Verizon. Whether this was a problem with Verizon or an oversight, I'm not quite sure. But the day after the initial announcement came out, Verizon went up and said, "Yeah, it's a problem. It's a goof up on our part. We apologize." Since then, there hasn't been any more word on it. But this raises a question in my head for the simple fact that Verizon has pissed in Google's coffee before. Remember the Nexus 7 when it came out, the 2014 edition or the 2013 edition? Yeah. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt right now, okay, that it was just an oversight perhaps, all right? To my understanding, Verizon has been called on the carpet and they're doing what they can to make this right, but it still doesn't leave Verizon in a very good place in my book. And flip side to this, overall, when it came to Google I.O., I thought it was a pretty good, it was a little long, okay, don't get me wrong, it was a little long, but all in all, I thought it was a good keynote. I would give it a 7 out of 10 if I had to give it a rating, just for the simple fact there were a couple things that seemed like they were unpolished. I mean, you know, the length, for one. And overall, it was a good, you know, 7 out of 10. Some of the things afterward, Project Aura, that was discussed, various other developer conference little meetings took place, and a lot of different things of that nature, and a lot of good things to come out afterward. A big thing we're going to be looking at, though, is the developer preview version L. I mean, is this going to be 5.0, or is this going to be another 4.5? I mean, L is Roman numeral for 50, so what's it going to be? We're also looking forward to seeing the narrowing of the production numbers as they get closer and closer. The lower versions start to drop off, and the bigger versions continue to move forward. Now, as always, ladies and gentlemen, just make sure you're checking me out here, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Make sure you're checking out all the different shows we got here, because you never know what's going to be trending next. We got lots of neat things. We always do. Check out the Split Decision for MMA. Check out Trending Mobile Technology, which is me right here, for mobile tech. I'll break down anything, folks. I mean, seriously, as long as it's not something that is a desktop, I'll break it down. I even break down laptops every once in a while, okay? The Spanish Announce Table breaks down WWE and TNA every week. I mean, T-Mac and Captain Awesome, they do a great job at talking about professional wrestling. Mr. Old School, his panel of critics, they break down the weekly box office and whatever else that he decides to talk about in either modern or past day society. I also do Game Face, which is the gamer podcast that gives you the other side of the gaming console. I've done a lot of different things with that as well. So just make sure you check in every day, because you never know what is going to be trending next. From all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.